Good morning. I decided to change course this morning a little bit. We only have a limited number of times together left. There's a couple of things that I really want to talk about. The one thing that I thought I wanted to talk about this morning was out of the story of David and Goliath, which is pretty familiar to a lot of us. But if you haven't ever had a chance to really dive in to that story and all the stuff that's around it, there is all kinds of rich culture and nuance and all of this amazing stuff that surrounds this story that most of us learned as children. And some of us never even went beyond that. I mean, like, we heard this story about God helping David and this amazing thing and this little boy and this giant man and this stone and this sling, and that's kind of all we really have about it. And there is so much more that's going on around this story, and I actually think it has a lot to say to Fairhaven Mennonite Church. It has a lot to say to the Church of the Lord all over, and actually has something to say to this specific time that we find ourselves living in. And so I definitely want to get there, but as I was going over it in my head this morning, I thought, there's more that I want to do. Like, there's more things that I want to get to with this, and so I want to take another week before we get there. And so this morning instead, I thought, you know what, I'm going to talk to you about a verse that I have found really helpful for a lot of years. Coming out of Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. And then the songs that were sung this morning, and the prayer that was given, and there's this tone of a holiness and reverence to God, but then a compassionate response to community. And there's these neat things that I've been picking up on, and they're just kind of interesting to me, given that, okay, I thought, I want to share this verse to you that's important. So I share all of that with you simply to say I'm asking for grace this morning, because shifting gears at the last minute is kind of an unusual thing. But this was just kind of where the Lord seemed to be telling me to go. And so we're going to play around with this text a little bit, and then we'll study. We'll spend 2 weeks on David and Goliath, and then we'll have a week off, and then we'll have one more week. So, Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I don't know if you go through the same kinds of things that I do in your own heads, but I tend to really get myself caught up with, what does God really require of me? What does God want me to do? How do I please God? And I think sometimes we can bear stress that is not ours to bear. I think we can get ourselves really consumed with all kinds of things. And sometimes we get ourselves really misguided on some other stuff. Like, sometimes we make our faith all about some things that maybe don't have a whole lot to do with what God has called us to do. Like, we start looking at other people and their actions. There's not a whole lot in Scripture that tells you need to be playing the comparison game. Right? Sometimes we get ourselves all caught up with the money that we're giving, which, don't get me wrong, I think being generous in response to God's generosity is a beautiful thing. But sometimes we make that what our faith is, what our response is. Sometimes we get ourselves all wrapped up with where we go, right? Are you going to the right church? Is this the right church? Is that the right church over there? What do they believe over this church over here? Like, sometimes we get all caught up with ritual and ceremony and what we're doing. Nothing wrong with going to church. We should go to church. But sometimes we make that our faith. Sometimes we get this thing of responding to God really mixed up with a lot of other things. And I think this is an extremely human experience that's been shared for thousands of years, where we have had human beings on this earth who have come into contact with the divine through one method or another. I don't know how you met God. I don't know how God stepped into your life, but somehow God got your attention. God made a connection, a relationship with you. And now this amazing, life-giving, incredible God, we have this relationship with God, and we're walking through this life saying, okay, God, how do I respond to you? How am I faithful? What do I do now? How do I live my life? Where do I go? What do I do? And there's all kinds of different answers to these questions. And I don't know if there's even one right one, right? I mean, like, there's a lot of different ways we can be faithful. But sometimes we narrow this thing down in ways to where all of a sudden our life of faith, it's not very life-giving to us. We're exhausted. How many Christians do we know that are bitter, that are angry, that are frustrated? Like, there's ways in which sometimes we get caught up living our lives of faith in ways that aren't very faithful or faith-giving. And yet when we come back to the heart of the text, when we come back to this story, this narrative of human beings interacting with God speaking to people and calling and inviting, we come back to this: do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. This extremely simple call. Earlier this week in my devotions, I came across this scripture in Amos, and it stuck with me. And I don't know why it popped out, but it just did. Has anybody ever read through Amos before? It's tough. That's a tough book, okay? So this is a prophetic book, but it's really a lament. So the book is full of just kind of pain and agony over the faith community and kind of where they're at. And in chapter 5, God is speaking through the prophet. He speaks to the people this. This is what he has to say. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. I don't know how that scripture hits you. Hit me hard, right? Like, if we take this scripture to heart, like, God is speaking this through a prophet to a specific people at a specific place. And if we just take one passage out of context in the big narrative that God's telling, it can take us to all kinds of unhealthy places. So I'm not suggesting we do that. But I am suggesting that we do take seriously this account that God is speaking to His people, where He's basically telling them, you're going to worship, you're making sacrifices, you're singing songs, you're going through all of these religious motions. I accept none of them. Everything that you're doing, you're going, I accept none of it. It's noise to my ears. I reject it. The offerings, I have no need for it. I don't want it. Why? He says, let justice flow. Yeah, what's your heart like? If the offering isn't coming from here, it's worthless. If the song isn't pouring forth from here, it's just noise. If the prayer isn't rooted here, it's just words. Like, there's this way in which God is calling us back to this sincere life. Sincere, honest, completely honest with God. And God is inviting us to go back all the way to the very beginning where your faith started. that thing that got you, whatever it was that God got your attention with, however God met you, loved you, redeemed you, saved you, that spot. Not the spot where you've been walking through faith for a long time. Not the spot where it's become routine, it's just rote, it's, you know, not the place where it's contrived. The place where it's inspirational. The place where new life is literally bursting forth. That spot, that beginning, that genesis of your faith. How did God meet you, save you, love you? Not how have others, how have you met God? Because the same kind of love that God has poured into your life, that's what you have to share. You don't have somebody else's faith to share. You don't have somebody else. You have your experience. And whatever's happened in your own life, that's what God is using in your circle of influence to bring about God's rule and reign. Do you know what the Scripture calls God's rule and reign? Glory. Glory. May your glory be revealed in me and all around me. God's rule and reign, God's lordship. We worship a God who transforms the world from the inside out. We worship a God who is revolutionary, but revolutionary in an upside down kind of way. We worship a God who is taking brokenness and putting it together, but not by force, by invitation. And we've met God this way, right? When we were broken, when we were all messed up, when we've made every mistake we can possibly make, and the God of all creation who made us and knows us and sustains us meets us in that place and says, "It's okay, I love you. I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. I will not forsake you." When you're in that spot where you feel so incredibly alone and God whispers to you, "You are never alone. I am always with you." That time when you feel completely unlovable, like whatever you've done has placed you outside the realm of ever deserving affection from anyone or anything ever again. And God says, "Yes, there is pain. There is brokenness. Yes, there are times when you are the one who's responsible for it. But the story doesn't end there. God is about taking this story somewhere and is about inviting you and me to receive what God has to speak to us, to do with us, and then going somewhere with it. Not falling into a routine, not falling into, well, I'm just going through the motions. But to remember that place where we were outcast, alone, sad, scared, where God speaks to us. And God sometimes speaks to us directly. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. Isn't that right? Have you ever heard the voice of God through someone else? You ever heard the voice of God through someone you didn't think God could speak through? It happens all the time, all around us. God is doing this amazing work, this groundswell. And when we gather to worship God like this, we don't come here so that we can sing songs that'll make God happy, give an offering that'll make God happy, and say some words that will make God happy. We come here because this amazing God of all creation has already done amazing things in us. And now we are asking the question, God, what are you up to now? God, what are you doing around us already? And how do we, as your people who have already tasted this love, who have already seen a glimpse of this grace, who have already stepped just even a little bit into this new life, how do we, as your people, God, partner with what you're doing? How do we become a part of whatever it is you're up to, God? we gather in groups like this and we say, what is God up to? Where have you seen God working? What is God doing? How do we get on board and be a part of whatever it is God is doing? Because whatever God's doing, that's what I want to be doing. The amazing way that God has met me, well, this is how I know God. How do you know God? Well, what did God have to say to you? Well, how did you meet God? We take all of this that we've experienced and we pull it together and we look at everything that's going on around us and we say, wow, the God of reconciliation and redemption, the God of love and grace and compassion, the God who loved even me. What does God see when God looks around us? Where might God be at work? How might we be a part of whatever it is God is doing? I think sometimes we start chasing all of these different ideas, all of these different notions. And it's not that faith is simple, right? Like, faith is extremely complex, right? Your faith is complex. My faith is complex. That's interesting, isn't it? But what God is inviting us to is simple. It's simple. Lay your burdens down. Lay your stress and anxiety down. There is nothing for you to chase after because the God of all creation knows you and loves you and is with you completely. There is nothing outside of yourself that you need to go claim or capture. Because of the grace of Christ, we are saved and redeemed. There is nothing to strive for. But there is a life that we can live in response to this grace. There is a worship we can offer in celebration of this love. There is a gathering that we can assemble in honor of who God is and what God is doing. And so I don't know where you find yourself on the spectrum of faith today. I don't know if you find yourself bursting forth with life or if you find yourself full of insecurity and doubt and questions and worry. I don't know if you find yourself with something to share or if you find yourself in a place where you're just in a spot of desperate need. Wherever you find yourself, God is there in the midst of your journey and is inviting you to reconnect with the place where God has met you personally, where God has entered your life. How do you know the God of all creation? How has God shown grace and love and mercy and kindness to you? Can you receive it again? Can you go back to that place? Can you close your eyes and remember and make it brand new? Because it is brand new. And then can the words of the prophet Micah speak new hope into your life as you accept this again, as you receive this love of God again? Can you ask that question, God, what do I do with this now? You're an amazing God, full of grace and compassion, and you've loved even me. You have poured out kindness and mercy, not because I did something to earn it, but because of who you are and because of what you're like. You have shown up in my life in such amazing ways. And yet I'm still a hot mess. I'm still full of so much garbage. But I know you. And I love you. And so now, God, what do I do? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before God with offerings? With my very best, Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of dollars, right? With 10,000 rivers of oil, with the very most precious things that we have in our possession, if I pour it out before God? Shall I offer my firstborn, my family, what is precious to me, shall I offer for my transgression, for my sin, for my brokenness? Is this how things get put back together again? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. He has showed you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. May your faith spring forth in new ways. May we live each and every day with this genesis of hope taking place in our hearts because of who God is and what God is like. And may we ask questions every day, not out of fear and worry about, oh no, how do we respond to God? What's the right way to do it? But out of joy and celebration for, isn't it amazing what God has done? How do we respond to it? Right? We know what this is like, but somehow in our faith, we can tend to get things all jumbled up and super complicated. You are invited to a life of celebration because of who God is and what God has done. You are invited to a life of thanksgiving because of who God is and what God is like. You are invited to a life of freedom. And the invitation is that you share this freedom and joy and grace with others beyond yourself. Because God is about taking all broken things and putting them back together again. Would you pray with me today? Gracious God, as you take brokenness and heal, as you take separation and restore, as you take hold of those things that are far off and bring them close together. And as we find ourselves, God, in a world which seems to be wanting to go the opposite direction, filled with division and anxiety and fear, may we not be overwhelmed by that which is outside of us, but may we be overcome by your Spirit that is within us. Lift us up, O God. Encourage us and remind us again of who you are and all that you have done. Fill us with hope and joy and thanksgiving. And then, O God, give us the courage and the opportunity to respond to the kindness and mercy you have shown to us. O God, as we gather in your sanctuary in this space, speak to each of us exactly what we need to hear. Draw us into your presence again. Lift us up and strengthen us. Empower us. Remind us that this life you have given us is good. That we are loved and held in your hand. That you have placed calling upon us to be your people and to celebrate who you are and what you have done. May our faith be made new. May we walk in grace and forgiveness. In thy name we pray. Amen.